And so today I want to talk about the origin and history of Halloween, because a lot of us don't know the origin. I didn't know the origin. I loved celebrating Halloween until I got born again and then spirit-filled. And it was over a period of time where I transitioned my practices based on what I knew and what I understood. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what God's Word says about that. And then what should our response be as Christians? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word today. Thank you for Pastor John Ramirez, who used to be on the dark side of this fight we're in. But he came to the light. He's now representing you, and I think representing you well, and just trying to share the truth about a very dark, evil day that our world still celebrates. I would say a lot of people do it in ignorance, but there's a lot of people that do it intentionally because they're against you. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be guilty by our association in any way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And to bring balance, that's New Testament, go to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to see what God's Word says about what I'm going to talk about today. But, I think the reason I showed that clip is I'm not able to share from his vantage point because I've never been on that other side. He was a Satan worshiper, a satanic priest, and he knows that side of Halloween and what it represents. In fact, I don't know if he said it in that clip. I've done a lot of studying this week because I had to learn some things that I've not studied this topic, but if I'm going to talk about it, I need to study it. But October 31st is still a high holy day for people that are involved in Satanism and witchcraft and the occult. It's their Resurrection Sunday, like for us as Christians. And like he said, they don't come and hang out with us on Good Friday or Resurrection Sunday. They don't want to have a thing to do with it, but yet we don't have a problem participating in October 31st festivities. And he said, I find that to be a problem if you're a born-again Christian. Amen? Amen. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says. This is Paul writing to the church. He says, test all things, hold fast what is good, but watch 22, verse 22, but abstain from what? Every form of evil. And we're going to see that what Halloween started to be in the very beginning and what it's remained to be, we could put in the category of dark and evil. And here Paul says, avoid any form, every form of it. Now, for me, real quick, when I was growing up, I loved Halloween. Because I loved going around, dressing up with my friends, having fun, and getting all the candy. Chocolate was my favorite. You know, we would trade candy. I'll take everybody's chocolate candy and they can have all the other stuff, right? And then, you know, there's the costume contest, and then there's the school parties, and you bob for apples and carve pumpkins and all that kind of stuff. To me, I didn't know that there was anything wrong with it, and so I wasn't convicted not to, you know, to stop doing it. And that was true all the way up. And of course, you know, as you get older, the way you celebrate changes. Right, so now I think I quit trick-or-treating in junior high. So in high school, I would just go to Halloween parties. And then in college, you know, those parties, you do adult things at those parties, none of which give God any glory, if you know what I'm talking about. And then I met Tammy, and, you know, Tammy and I, we did the same thing. We both grew up considering ourselves to be good Christian people, but didn't have a clue about this holiday, and so we loved dressing up and going to the parties and doing adult things. And then we got saved, and we kept doing that, but we maybe did it in a little bit better fashion. And then we started having kids, and of course, that was really fun because Tammy was one of the best at making creative costumes. You know, at one time we had, I was the big bad wolf, and we had three kids at the time, and they were three little pigs. But I mean, every year it was a challenge to see if we could outdo last year's costumes, you know. And I've got to admit, under the big bad wolf costume, I had my cold one. You know, nobody could see me, but I was, you know, I was celebrating. And then I got saved. And then we got involved in church. And the way we involved ourselves on that day changed a little bit to the better, right? We would start doing fall festivals. Outreach, alternative safe safe spiritual alternatives to that dark day. And both at Church of the Hills and at Shoreline every year, we did a huge outreach. And I'm going to say on the one hand, if that's what you want to do, that's between you and God. Well, when we started Generations Church, and we knew that we were going to bring spiritual deliverance ministry back onto our menu, and we talked about, if you remember, it wasn't long ago, maybe towards the beginning of the year, I did a whole series on Under the Influence. Listen, Halloween opens the door to demonic spirits in your life. Okay? Now, some of you weren't even good with that until I did a whole series on it, and God somehow, can we keep the lights still? Somehow we grew in our understanding about spiritual things, and now we see things differently than we did before we were exposed to what God's Word says about those things. I think the same is true for Halloween. When we started Generations Church, we made the decision we don't want to do anything on that day because of what it represents. And so I want to talk about that. If you look up Halloween in the dictionary, here's what it says. The night of October 31st, the eve of All Saints Day, commonly celebrated by children who dress in costume and go door to door asking for candy. Period. Says nothing about witchcraft. Says nothing about Satanism. It doesn't say, oh, this is a high holy day for Satan worshipers. Our world is caught up in this. And our world, even the church, is caught up in this, and I don't think they have a clear understanding of the spiritual dark side of what this day represents, and they don't have a clue. In fact, I remember growing up in the denominational church I was going to at the time, they would have Halloween parties, and the pastor would dress up as a demon or a devil, clueless. But if you look at the history, I want to, real quick, I think I have it on a slide here. Halloween can be traced back to an ancient Celtic pagan festival. Keyword, pagan festival. For those that don't know what a pagan means ungodly. If you're a pagan, either you're an unbeliever or you believe in gods other than the one true God. It's a pagan festival. That's where it got its roots. Who would agree that's not good? If it's a pagan festival, that's not good. If you're a God person. And this fall festival marked the end of summer and the harvest, the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with death. But here's some of the things they practiced on October 31st. Now keep in mind, to the Celtic people, November 1st was their New Year. So New Year's Eve to them was October 31st. The Celts believed that on that night, before the New Year, that the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. So on October 31st, they celebrated. Now, this word, it's spelled like it should be pronounced Samhain or Samhain, but it's really pronounced Samhain. So you're going to hear me say the word Samhain, but that's the word I'm talking about. They celebrated Samhain by lighting bonfires, making sacrifices to the Celtic gods, and offering food and treats or drinks in return for favors and blessings to ensure that they would not die during the winter. They also believed that during this time, the departed souls of family and loved ones, even their enemies, could somehow come back to the world of the living, and they would either have a place at the table to welcome them, or they would dress up in disguises so they wouldn't be noticed by those who they had ticked off for fear that that spirit may come and try to mess with them. Now, who would agree? This is kind of in the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Right? There was even divination, fortune-telling involved, witchcraft, the occult, associated with this day. Now, fast forward many, many years. You see that as Christianity spread through the world, these pagan festivals would somehow get mixed into both the Roman culture, the European culture, but also the Christian culture. The Catholic Church established a religious holiday known as All Saints Day in honor of all the Christian martyrs and saints, which was observed on November 1st. And they renamed October 31st to All Hallows Eve, which means the night before the day that we pray to the dead and give honor to the dead, right? And the emphasis was on being aware of the spirits or the goblins, the witches, other dark images that became active to hinder the prayer for the dead that would be offered the next day. Which, there's a term for that. It's called necromancy. It's worshiping the dead. It's connecting with the dead. That was part of the Catholic Church's celebration and activities on this day. And I just want to tell you, it's not biblical. In fact, I'm going to read some scriptures here in a minute that will tell you, stay away from that stuff. So, what does God's Word say about Halloween? That's a little bit of the history. Well, first of all, the Bible doesn't say anything specifically about Halloween. Because Halloween wasn't started until after the Word of God was written. But what Halloween represents is talked about all through Scripture. And I want to share some scriptures in light of that. So, look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. This is the reading of the Ten Commandments. This is the top ten list, and watch what number one says. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, you should not worship any other gods. Well, that's what they did at Samhain. You shall have no other gods. You shall not worship any other gods. Much of the world at that time were polytheists. They worshiped many gods. And so the origin and practice of Halloween started in that kind of culture. And God says, I don't want you to have anything to do with other gods, other than the one true God. Then you fast forward to Deuteronomy chapter 18, a couple of verses here. In my Bible, the New American Standard Bible, there's a subtitle that says, Avoiding Wicked Customs. That's kind of what I'm talking about today. It says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. In other words, ungodly practices. And then he talks about what they are. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through fire. I don't think anybody does that on Halloween. Or one who practices witchcraft. That happens every Halloween. Or a soothsayer. Or one who interprets omens. Or a sorcerer. Or one who conjures spells. That happens. Or a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead. Necromancy. We just talked about that. The Catholic Church. There are still some religions in the world that still do that. And here in the Word of God, it says, don't do that. For all who do these things are an abomination, a disgrace to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. But as for you, talking about God's people, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. In fact, in Leviticus, it says that the Israelites who practiced such things were put to death. You want to know how God feels about these things that are associated with Halloween? The Word of God tells us. Isaiah 8, verse 19, talking about fearing God and heeding his word. He says, and when they, those who practice these things, say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Shouldn't we go to God's word and find out what God thinks about it? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? And the church says, no, but we do. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In other words, they don't have discernment, spiritual discernment of things that are of the light and things that are of the dark. Who would agree that Halloween is really a celebration of darkness? Both literally, it's done at night. I used to teach my kids, nothing good happens after midnight. So be careful what you do and where you are after midnight, right? But also spiritually. 1 John 5:21 says, keep yourselves from idols, or keep yourselves from idol worship. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's kind of what I'm doing today. Now, I'm exposing it not to condemn anybody that hasn't, you know, come to this understanding that we really shouldn't be doing it, because I was in that camp for many, many years. And I want to tell our church, this is not an opportunity to start looking at the speck in other people's eyes when you might have a plank in your own. I don't want this topic to divide our church. I don't want it to divide your life group discussions. In fact, I put a warning in the life group discussions this week. There might be some people that don't agree with what I'm preaching on. Extend grace and mercy to them, because they're not yet at that place where they have spiritual discernment to understand what to do. And I'm hoping this message will change that. I had to come to the realization, once I realized the background of this holiday, I had to make this decision. Am I going to have anything to do with it or nothing to do with it. And I went from having everything to do with it to a middle ground of, we're going to do it this way. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it's probably not, you know, where it should be. And then when we started Generations Church, when people asked, I said, well, go find a church. If you want to do that, go find another church to do that, but we're not doing it here. I have a hard time having deliverance ministry at our church and then opening the doors on Halloween to celebrate. That's a hypocrite. That's hypocrisy. And I believe that if you're a Jesus follower and you participate in Halloween at any level, celebrating what's associated with that day, I think you're a hypocrite. I think you need to shore that up. Where are we? As for me and my house, what are we going to do? We're going to celebrate what the world celebrates, or we're going to honor God's word and take the flack for it. I'll prepare you for that here in just a minute before I close. I'm not going to send you out there without any weapons. So what should a Christian's response be? So here's my first one. If possible, avoid it. That's what God's word just said. Am I correct? Did God's word just say have nothing to do with it? Now, some of you are feeling the tension because you've already got your costumes planned for Tuesday. And you probably have some graves in your front yard with your children's name on it. And you're going to be put to the test between now and then. Who are you going to choose? I just don't think it's something a committed Christ follower should do. Well, Pastor Bob, what about Christmas and Easter? They have pagan connections. I'll give you that one. But the root of those holidays is not pagan. See, something happened to that too. We took what had a good spiritual root of Christ's birth and Christ's resurrection, and over the years in different cultures, we've added things to it, like the Christmas tree and some other things like that. Maybe I should do a similar message closer to Christmas. And you're thinking, oh, please don't go there. We love our 20-foot tree in our new house. I'm just saying. We need to know the truth, and then we need to make decisions based on what God's truth is for those that follow God and put Him first. And then we talk about the fruit. That's the root. Let's talk about the fruit. When you talk about the values of Halloween versus the values of Christmas and Easter or Christianity in general, they're opposites. I just wrote down a few words here. Halloween. I can describe Halloween as darkness. But Christianity's what? Light. I wrote down death. Jesus said, I'm the life and the light. I wrote down fear. Christianity's all about faith. The fruit doesn't match. We're actually embracing things that on any other day of the year we would be against. And I'm just saying it's pause and calls for reconsideration of what you're doing if you're still involved. My grandkids are young, but they have spiritual discernment enough. I mean, Levi's the oldest grandson that has talked about this. It was, a week or two ago, he got invited to go to SeaWorld. He didn't know that it was all about, what do they call it? There's a name, they have a name for it. The whole theme park now is dark and demonic, and they call it Hallow Horror or something. Night of Fright or something. So he goes down there with his friends. When he gets there and he sees it, he's thinking, I don't want to go in there. But he's stuck. He's with a family that doesn't have a problem with it. And so he goes in there, and then they go through that horror house. And he's hating every minute of his SeaWorld trip. And as soon as he gets out, guess where he goes? There's a part of the park that's all lit up bright light for the little kids section. That's where Levi ran to. He ran to the light. Amen. Because he was conflicted by being around all that darkness. That is a 9-year-old kid. Amen. That doesn't have a lot of biblical knowledge, but he just had something in him that said, this doesn't set right with me. And then Jacqueline's kids, their whole neighborhood has been transformed into a dark street. In fact, Sterling, I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. Sterling told his mother one day when they were coming and going, I don't like my street. And she said, well, don't look at it. And he said, I can't not see it. It's like in his head. He can't shake it. He says, I want to move. So how should we respond? How should we respond? First of all, let me say this. Don't beat people up if they're not on the same page with you, especially non-Christians. They don't have any commitments to God regarding this day. So don't go telling people you shouldn't, you shouldn't, you shouldn't. I'm just saying for you, honey, what are we going to do and why should we or should we not do whatever, right? This is for you. This is for you. What are you going to do? I would also say when people invite you, because so here's where the rub is. If people would just leave us alone, we could do what we want, but they're going to talk about it. They're going to say, hey, you want to come to our party? And then what are we going to say? I would say be honest and speak the truth. Isn't that what I would normally say about anything else concerning scripture and spiritual things? Be honest. Just say no thanks. We don't celebrate Halloween. And you're hoping they leave it at that. But if they come back and go, what? Why? Be honest and speak the truth. Because what it represents goes against what I believe. What it represents goes against my faith in Jesus Christ. You want to know anything else? I got a sermon you can listen to. Just try to be short, concise. But be honest and be truthful. Because, listen, this is between you and God. He's watching what you're doing. He's watching what you're saying and how you're reacting. And at the end of the day, that's the test you want to pass. Not whether people are going to like you or not or accept you or not. And then, because that's really where the tension is between what we're going to do for God versus all of our other friends that may not be on the same page with us. We feel that tension. And I would say you handle that the way you do any other tension that goes along with your Christian faith that doesn't go along with what they believe. This is just one of many topics. Listen to Romans 12:2. Paul says, and do not be conformed to this world. That's what we do, really, as Christians. We conform to the ways of the world. We celebrate a day they celebrate. And we try to, you know, dumb it down and not make it spiritual. But we can't avoid the roots of it. We can't avoid really what half of the people of this world, the dark half, are really doing on that day. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what I'm hoping it comes out of this message today, that God's going to help renew your mind of how you look at this day, that you may prove to yourself and to God what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness. I think there's a translation that says, for you were once in darkness. I was once in darkness. I shared my story with you. I was involved in this dark holiday, and it didn't bother me a bit. But now, you are in the, what, light of the Lord. So therefore, watch it. It says, so if that's true for you, walk as children of light. Quit walking in darkness. Yeah, but my kids just want to have fun with their friends. That's fine, just not on that day in that way. If you want to do a fall festival, do a fall festival. But don't go and trick or treat and dress up and do all the stuff that the world does on October 31st. Let me ask you this. What other things might your kids want to do for fun that as a parent you would absolutely say no? You don't have a problem with that, do you, parents? And I'm wondering if it's as much a problem with your kids as it might be with you. Because this is something that you did as a child. You've done it all your life, and you're having to depart or break up with something that you've always found joyful. I can tell you my grandkids don't have any problem with what I'm talking about today. And I don't think your kids will either once they understand what's behind the holiday. Yeah, but people are going to think I'm weird if I don't do what the world does. Let me ask you this. What will God think if you don't do it? Let me ask you another question. What do you think God's thinking if you do it? That's your bigger issue. That's what you're going to have to wrestle with after I say amen here in a minute. So, we're called to engage and influence the culture. not imitate and celebrate the dark things in it. If it was just about dressing up and getting a bunch of candy, I wouldn't be even sharing this message today. But it's much more than that. There's a dark side to this day. Its roots are connected to ungodly beliefs and occult practices and pagan worship. And for many involved in Satanism and witchcraft, it's still considered to this day a high holy day each year. Listen, and they pray curses on people like us. And I'm just thinking, shouldn't we reconsider as Christians how we respond to Halloween? Pastor John Ramirez said it's an open door to evil and demonic spirits. And so I think we should be intentional about shutting those doors and keeping them shut. We're a church that preaches and teaches and has a ministry to teach people how to do that. Here's one of my concerns, and why I wanted to share this as well, is that members and leaders of our church might be opening the door to the occult and don't even realize they are, and I wanted to bring it to your attention. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway or the influence of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, and His Son Jesus Christ. Therefore," listen, verse 21 says, knowing that, "little children," what does it say? "Keep yourselves from idols." And then he ends with a big amen. Keep yourselves from things that are evil, from celebrating and participating in the things of this world that open the door to the occult and demonic spirits. And I would say amen to that. So let me ask you, what do you hear God saying to you? For some of you, this is not an issue. You settled the matter years ago, and you're inside going, "Come on, Pastor Bob, I've been waiting for you to talk about this." But for others, like I used to be, you're feeling the tension. And maybe the tension is not between you and others. Maybe the tension is between your children and their friends. We're going to start doing something different, or we're thinking about doing something different. How are we going to handle that transition? It's interesting that Israel found themselves in this same predicament. If you remember when they went in to capture the new lands, these were people that were practicing other abomination rituals before the Lord. And listen to what Joshua had to tell his people. He said in Joshua 24:15, he says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell." And then he says, "As for me and my family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." They had to make the same choice thousands of years ago that we're having to make today. You got to choose whom you're going to serve. And you can't do it both ways. It's either going to be the Lord or the world, or the deity of this world, which is not God. And so if you're in that area right now where you're having to consider changing, listen, I believe God will, if you'll get intentional with Him, I think He will give you the grace you need to make whatever changes you need to make. And He will bless it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, He's going to watch you pass this test. And normally when you pass a test with God, there's blessings that come. Can I hear a big amen? Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you. Thank you for this message today. Thank you that you tell us in your word to avoid the things that this world celebrates connected to Halloween, and that as the church, we should avoid them too. I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction to each person, each family in our church, and they try their best to honor you in making whatever choices or changes they need to make. I pray that we would not use this as a divider, but as a uniter. I pray that we will not judge others for their stand, but we would pray for each other so that we can do the perfect will of our Heavenly Father. If you're here in the house with us today or watching online, I want to talk real quick about another way that we live in darkness, not on Halloween, but 365 days a year. And that's living a life that's disconnected from God. That's living a life, a sin-filled life, where we've not been forgiven and we've not repented and we've not been renewed in the eyes of God. In other words, we're not right with God because, well, we've never crossed over. We've never invited His Son Jesus to save us from our sinfulness. For 26 years, I lived in darkness, separated from God. But one day I said, no more. And maybe today's that day for you. You say, no more. I'm tired of living in darkness. See, coming to church, really, it's not a bad thing. But it won't solve your sin problem. Only Jesus Christ and putting your faith in Him and declaring Him Lord and Savior of your life will change that for you. It's what the Bible calls, it's what Jesus called being born again spiritually. We were born once of a natural birth, but we're still needing to be born again spiritually so that we're right with God. So that in spite of our sinfulness, He still sees us as righteous and accepts us into His family and into eternity. And so if you're watching online or you're here with us today and you've never made that decision, I want to give you a chance to right now. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that what I've just said is true for you, that God will honor that and welcome you into His family. I want to just lead you in a short, simple prayer. That's the beginning. The beginning is exercising your will to choose Jesus and not stay opposed to Him. Just say this, dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need saving. Your word says that the penalty for sin is eternal death. But you made it possible for me to have eternal life. That's what I choose. No longer do I want to live in darkness, stay in darkness. I want to come into the light of your righteousness and your love. Today I want to make that decision. I'm coming to you, Lord Jesus. No longer will I stay in the dark things of my past, but I'm entering into a new relationship with you, a relationship full of light and love. I don't really know how to live this new life, but I'm sure you'll show me how. Jesus, save me today. I want to be born again today. I'm crossing over to you today. And I say thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray.